Well, I certainly want to add my welcome to Carlos, to all of you, to come to this Good Friday service. I want to especially welcome those people from the Linden Alliance. We are so happy to have you here. Seems like a very appropriate service to do together, since it is about our Lord Jesus and how this one Jesus died for all of us. And we all come to the cross equally needy. And so we're just so happy to have our brothers and sisters from Linden Alliance here with us this morning. Up on the back wall here, we have these two banners, the story. And here at Linden MB, we have been going through the story of the Bible, reading the Bible in 31 parts. And we have timed it so that the story of the death of Jesus falls on this day. So I just wanted to recognize that some of you, or many of you, have been reading along and have come to this point and come to this service having just read the story in that way. I then asked Pastor Bruce for his portion where he speaks that if he were to pick up a theme that had to do with Jesus' death set in the context of the whole Bible and the expectation of the Old Testament, that not only would that be a very good thing for us here in Linden MB, but it would be a very interesting thing for all of us to hear about. And so he has chosen Jesus as the Lamb of God. And that is a really powerful image because it begins with Abel in Genesis offering that first sacrifice to the Lord and then goes all the way to the book of Revelation where all of heaven sings his praises to the Lamb that was slain and is worthy. So it is something I am very much looking forward to hearing what Pastor Bruce has to say about Jesus as the Lamb. I don't have any announcements except this, that after the next worship set, we are going to watch a film depiction of Jesus' trial before Pilate and then his crucifixion. And it is taken from word for word from the Gospel of John. None of the cruelty is shown, but the result in blood is shown. And that is worthwhile to us because we do tend to live in a clean and tidy and sanitized world, and it's worth seeing what the result, consequences of our sin really is in Jesus Christ. However, if you are a parent and you think, oh, that may be too much for my children, we have deliberately set it up that we have this next worship set in which we all stand and sing, and you are welcome to just take kids out the back if you think that necessary. That is okay to do. We have the nursery here for babies. Down in the foyer, the service is being broadcast on a video monitor there, so you can catch it there. And there's also the twos and threes room, which is side by side with the boys' bathroom in the basement. So those are options for you. Now I'd like to pray. Father God, we thank you for having chosen in your great plan to send Jesus Christ as a Savior to the world in order that we might be delivered from our sin. And he paid the ultimate price in order that this might be done. And Jesus did it for us, for the people in this very room. He paid that great sacrifice. And this morning we want our hearts to be open to how great a thing was done for us, to be humbled by it, to lift up our praises to the one who gave this great gift. Oh, Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that you gave your life for us. And in your name we pray and live. Amen.
You stood before creation. Thank you. Genesis 22, 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up and saw in a thicket a ram caught by the horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided."
Acts 8:26-35. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading a book, the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
We've heard two stories about lambs. Story of God's provision for Abraham. politician 700 years after that in the direction of God. The Lamb of God is a theme throughout Scripture for its impact we have seen today. Follow along as we take a journey through the written Word of God and the living Word of God together that He might speak to our hearts concerning the Lamb of God. Word of God, speak. Jesus, speak truth to us as we hear your words today, your words to us. Amen. God spoke to Abraham. He said to him, sacrifice your son as a lamb upon the altar, but in the end, graciously supplied a substitute, a ram. That ram that God provided was only a foreshadowing of other sheep, other lambs that were to be slain some 500 years later in Egypt. Listen to Exodus as Moses records the story there. He says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, and when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight, then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. And this is how you will eat it, with your cloak tucked in your belt and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. That event, too, was a foreshadowing of all that was to come, of the thousands, no, even millions, upon millions of sheep and lambs and goats that were killed, all leading to the one lamb, the one lamb whose sacrifice was sufficient. Hebrews records, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Blood must be shed in order for forgiveness to be extended. And instead of us being placed on the altar like Isaac, for that is where we should be, God sent Jesus, the one who was himself, God. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. God he was, and God he is, yet he became human. John again records, the Word became flesh and dwelt and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Hebrews adds, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. What an amazing coming together, a blending together of the divinity and the humanity into one person. Paul adds this look at Jesus as well when he says in Philippians, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus did not aspire to his deity and all that he had at his disposal, for he had much power and much ability. But rather, he chose to live as humanly as possible, to live a life 100% human, 100%, without relying on his deity, yet living in all his weakness as a human, except with one thing missing. For Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He became the perfect human sacrifice in place of Isaac, in place of the Passover lamb, the sin sacrifice, my sacrifice, your sacrifice. He was the lamb without defect. John says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And later John records, he says this, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Hebrews adds, he did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so they are outwardly clean. How much more then with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. And Peter adds, for you know that it is not with the perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the near empty way of life handed down to you from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And then again in Hebrews, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here am I. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties, and again he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for all sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he is made perfect forever. Forever, those who are being made holy. So what have you done with the Lamb of God? Are you thinking that what Jesus did was enough? Or maybe not enough? Or maybe that you're not worthy of this sacrifice, and therefore counting on your sacrifice to be sufficient. Maybe you're thinking that your good works, or your effort, or your wisdom, or your strength, or your courage, or your abilities can in some way add to what Christ has already done. Yet Hebrews says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. I have nothing. You have nothing. For Isaiah says, all of us have become like one who was unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. All we offer is dirty pieces of clothing, nothing of value. But Jesus offers us life. Listen to the words in Luke when he opened up the scriptures from Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and you might have it to the full. And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And the very next verse in 1 John, he says this, very simply, he who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, so that you may know that you have life. Do you have the Son? Do you have the Lamb of God? It's not rocket science. It's not difficult. It's not mystical or unattainable. Rather, the work has been done by Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the option now is given to you. Do you have the Son? Do you have the Lamb? And all it means is surrender to him. Accept the sacrifice of Jesus, his body, his blood shed for you, his blood and body given for me. That what he did was sufficient, that we can't add to it. When we've responded to him, we have the Son. When we've accepted that, when we've accepted his sacrifice to us, we have the Son. Then we can sing, as those in Revelation will sing one day. And they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And your body, and with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and people and nation. From Canadians to Syrians, to Belizeans to Americans, from Tongans to Filipino, from Scottish, English, Polish, German, Russian, Chinese, First Nations, Indian, Korean, Dutch, from Mennonite, Alliance, from Catholic to Baptist to Charismatic, every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. Are you one of those that can sing? Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy because you were the Lamb that was slain for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
We are going to take communion all together, so I'm going to invite the worship team to come up on the stage and deacons to come forward, and you can get the bread ready for distribution as they do so. Let me say that we take communion because it is a reminder that there was one who had to atone for our sin, and that he had to do it by having his body broken. That is the symbol of the bread. And because he needed, because his blood was spilled, and that is the symbol of the great Jesus. So as we take this, remember that a lamb needed to be sacrificed for us. And for hundreds of years, and he broke it, saying, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Go ahead.
It's gluten free if you want to tell them. Yeah, they know, they know.
Oh,
This is Christ's body that is broken for you. Let us eat it together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me until I come."
Yeah.
This is Christ's blood that is shed for you. Let us drink it together. Lord Jesus, we really do all owe all to you. You are the Lamb that was slain for our sin. And this morning, we once again say to you how much we need you, how much we love you, how much we want to give our lives for the one who gave his life for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go in God's peace.